Well, welcome everybody, man. So thankful that you are here today. Hey, how many of y'all have your Christmas shopping all done? Anybody already got all your Christmas shopping done? Okay, we hate you. We hate all of you who just raised your hand, right? Because a lot of us, you know, it's not quite there yet. Got a little chicken left on the bone, so to speak, and got a little work done. If you haven't gotten all your shopping done, what are you going to buy? Have you thought about that? I mean, that's kind of hard, isn't it, to know what to get for people? So you don't really know. You're looking for ideas, maybe. I just went online and just Googled, hey, what are the best Christmas gifts for 2021? And a few of the ones that at least RollingStone.com suggested were maybe some new AirPods. Man, any of y'all, maybe the Generation 3 is out. Now, I mean, it's got a lot more, you know, the EQ on it is a lot better, whatever that means, and they're sleek and stylish. The most important thing about your earbuds is they have to make you look good at the gym. Come on, can I get an amen out of that? That's really what you're looking for. If they make you look good, that's really kind of its primary purpose. Maybe you're not into that. Maybe you want the Theragun Prime. Now, can I just be honest with y'all? I didn't think Theragun Plain was any good, and I can't believe anybody bought it, but apparently Theragun Prime is the deal, right? You can really get into those deep places where you're hurting, and it just looks painful to me. But if you are looking for, you know, that unique gift that just says, hey, man, I really want to just smoke you, then you can get a Theragun Prime, maybe. There's this thing called a Hatch Restore. I've never heard of it. I saw it online. It's at night. It just puts off this soft glow reading light, right? No harsh blue light, of course. And so it's this reading light and a soothing sounds and meditations that prepare you for sleep. And then you can customize kind of a sunrise alarm that kind of gently wakes you up without the harsh jolt, you know, of an alarm clock. And so maybe that's what you would want. Or maybe you would want to buy this one. I didn't see this one coming either. The Always Pan. This is a pan that somehow is nonstick. You can braise with it, sear with it, steam with it, strain with it, saute with it, fry with it, oil, or boil with it. And it's already Instagram ready in cute colors. So you don't have to worry about it. That would be a great gift. Now, word of warning to all the boyfriends and husbands out there, don't you dare. Come on, ladies, talk to them right now. Don't you dare buy that unless they ask for it. Otherwise, she's going to go upside your head with that thing, right? So you look good wearing it. When it comes to giving gifts, what do y'all go with? Because I go back and forth. Do you give gifts that they need or do you give gifts that they want? Are you like the practical side or are you like, no, man, let's just give them something that's totally unpractical, but it'd be really, really cool to have. Where do y'all land on that? Y'all battle back and forth with that. And now you got to think about another thing. Can you get it? Right? Supply lines have supplies, you know, backed up or non-existent or whatever. So you don't even know if it can be delivered by the time you need it. Now, today we're going to talk about a gift that I think you both need and really want at your core, but quite honestly, few people ever seem to be able to find. It's a gift in great demand all year long, but if you know where to look, you can have an endless supply of it. I'm talking about the gift of peace. Peace for us became elusive. Our peace was broken. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, when disobedience to God and sin entered into our world. Before that, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, Adam and Eve, the first humans on the earth, they lived in perfect peace. There was peace with God. They walked and they talked with God daily. They didn't have reservations. They didn't hold anything in their lives back from God. There were no questions worrying about, does God even hear me whenever I talk? Of course he did. There were no fears that they hadn't performed well enough for God to like them. There were no doubts about God because they had all these personal problems that seemed to be beyond explanation. Their relationship with God was at total peace, unhindered and unbroken. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And they had peace with each other. Adam and Eve were connected. They were one flesh, Genesis 2:24 says. No blaming, no complaining, no negative feelings, no negative talk. He was caring. He was sensitive. He was engaged. She washed his hunting clothes and skinned his deer. I mean, it was a perfect marriage, right? A perfect peace. There was peace within themselves. Genesis 2:25 says they were both naked and felt no shame. No anxiety, no fear, no guilt, no shame, no self-hatred, no negative voices in their heads. When they laid down to sleep at night, man, they slept quickly and like little babies. And there was peace with their surroundings, and why wouldn't there be? They lived in paradise. They lived in a place called Eden, the whole creation. Every circumstance of their life was just perfect. It was in harmony, so there's no chaos, no bad days, no death, no pain. But then sin. When sin entered, peace was gone. Peace was lost with God that day. That day, peace with God died. Now you and I fight with this gnawing sense of emptiness within your soul, and nothing seems to be able to fill it. We want to be good, but we know that we're not. And past that, God knows we're not, and it scares us because he really knows us. Adam and Eve became distant and selfish and started blaming each other for their problems. When sin entered, the Bible tells us that man hid. He was no longer free and at peace with God and no longer at peace with himself. Now you and I, we both lack peace, posing, pretending, covering, trying to deal with the shame that for many of us is a daily reality. For the first time, Adam and Eve said this word, afraid. We were afraid, they said. They were afraid of God and afraid of being found out and afraid of really, truly being known at their core. The curse invaded the world. They were confined to live under this curse. Their perfect world shattered. Now everything is in chaos and under a dark dominion and authority and power. In heartbreaking tragedy, maybe you know that their son Cain killed their other son Abel. And now violence and injustice and anger and jealousy and greed are just a part of the reality in which you and I live, as are sickness and disease and famine and natural disaster. Things are under the curse. There's no peace. Since what we call the fall, people have tried to find peace, and maybe you long for it even desperately. Psychologists tell us that we actually need peace. Psychologists tells us that when you have peace, you make better decisions, you handle your daily life decisions more effectively, you have more patience and tolerance and tact with people, so your relationships improve. Being at peace brings inner happiness and less stress. You sleep better at night, and you don't worry so much about what other people think about you. You hear this and you go, gosh, that sounds a lot like Genesis 1 and 2. And it does. And you want that. You long for that. You were made for that. But here's the deal. Our search for peace has proven elusive, hasn't it? Peace is hard to find with only temporary experiences of maybe small amounts of peace here and there. Oh, you're still chasing it. You're chasing peace through accomplishment. If I could just achieve more, if I could get that promotion, if I could just, you know, be named all conference, or if I could get that scholarship or go to that college, you feel like, man, I would finally have peace. If I could live here or do that, I would finally have it, but you don't. You search for peace. You try to find it through financial means, right? If I could just have a little bit more money, if I could just have that salary, live in that neighborhood, have that retirement account. But here's the weird thing. The more money you have, the more you worry about losing it. And you have no peace. Worried about getting sued. You chase peace through at the bottom of a bottle. Or you chase peace through relationship after relationship, bouncing around, hoping somebody will fill that God-shaped hole in your heart. Fulfill the deepest longing for love that you have, and yet not even a good man can do that. If you haven't discovered it yet, it's an exhausting and frustrating search for peace. Nothing this world offers can heal and repair the peace you lost. But God, in a world of brokenness and pain, God came near and he brought hope and he restores peace. And here's what I want you to hear today. God wants you to experience this peace that you were made for, that you want, that you need. He wants you to experience this peace today, real peace, true peace, deep peace, fulfilling, lasting peace. Now, last week we learned through the prophet Isaiah that their world in Isaiah's day was broken. Back around 700 BC, they lived in a very, very dark and oppressive time. Their worlds were a mess, just like Adam and Eve's. They inherited, they're under the curse as well, because they too turned away from God, just like Adam and Eve had, just like you and I have. And the fallout, the result was their lives were marked by lack and want, discouragement, darkness, oppression, and pain. Isaiah promised, right, this is what we learned, Isaiah promised that hope would one day dawn, and that hope was intimately tied with the birth of a child. Now, what you're going to see today is that this child would not only bring hope, but he would also come and establish a kingdom of peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's go back there. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his kingdom will be called, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father," here it is, "Prince of Peace." Now look at this last line. "And there will be no end to the increase of his government," his new kingdom. It ain't gonna end. "No end to his the increase, the expansion of his government or of his peace." This child that Isaiah prophesied, the one that Israel longed for, was going to be a prince, a ruler, royalty with authority and power to deliver peace. That word peace is the word shalom in Hebrew. Here's what it means. It speaks of completeness. Everything is there. It speaks of soundness. Everything is healthy and right. It speaks of welfare, right? In the sense of well-being. You're well physically, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. I have a friend who says, this kind of peace means nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. Come on, anybody want to sign up for that? Nothing missing, nothing broken in my life, in all ways. Shalom. Peace. A quiet tranquility and contentment inside. Certainly this word sometimes is used as a greeting. Shalom, peace, peace be with you. Other times this word speaks of the absence of conflict, of fighting and personal problems. There's shalom. But this word also is used to describe peace in the midst of the battle. Isaiah says this child that's going to be born is going to set up a government, a new kingdom, a new rule on the earth, and it would be marked by an ever-increasing peace. You can't stop his government, nor can you stop the thing that his government provides, which is a lasting peace. No boundary to it, no stopping the flow of it. Is it any wonder why Israel longed for this Messiah, this child to be born, hope and peace? My gosh, bring it. And so Advent, right? Advent means the coming or the arrival. Christmas is the remembrance, the celebration of the coming and the arrival of hope and peace. That's what the angels announced to the shepherds that night, that Isaiah's prophecy was being fulfilled. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened," these shepherds were. "But the angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, not just some. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you, you shepherds and everybody else, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the new King. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And then suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" I love it that the angel's message came to the shepherds first. Didn't come to the rich and the powerful, didn't come to the famous and those who were on the covers of magazine, didn't come to the blue check mark crowd, didn't come to the ones that everybody know and their platforms are just massive. Came to the humble and the lowly, those who were really outcasts in their society, cut off actually from religion, if you know much about shepherds. Their job made them unclean because they worked all the time. They didn't get to make it to the church very often. And so they were kind of the ones who were most least likely to ever experience the peace of God. And yet God starts with them first. And I love it. Mercy. Grace. And you may consider yourself maybe like one of those shepherds, cut off, lonely, separated. Nobody really knows much about you. But can I tell you, God sees you. He sees you at home right now. He sees you wherever you're sitting by yourself or in a crowd. He sees you and he says to you, peace has come. That's what the angel declared, a Savior, right? A deliverer, the Messiah, the Christ child, the Lord, the ruler, the King, the Prince of Peace is here. He's born. Glory to God in the highest. And that's really what I hope happens over the next couple of minutes, that somehow you find a way in your heart, as we talk about the way God brings this peace to us today in real time, that you stop and just say to God, glory to God in the highest. Thank you for what you've done for me. Okay? That'd be a win. If you get nothing out of church, but you just give God some love, that would be a win. Glory to God in the highest, in the spirit realm. Glory to God, praise to God, honor to God. But on earth, right now, real time, where you live, in the midst of all your junk, peace. Peace. Not necessarily the absence of problems. That's not what his kingdom came to bring. Not the absence of problems. The kingdom was actually birthed through pain. But peace nonetheless. As we read the life of Jesus, if you study his life, you find that peace came with a great price, didn't it? He lived for us and then died for us and was buried and resurrected and then ascended into heaven. His death, please hear, his death is what paid for our disobedience to God. The wages of sin is death. He suffered death, separation for you and me. But please hear that his resurrection broke the curse. Remember, Adam and Eve now are under the curse. Jesus breaks the curse of death and separation. His ascension into heaven now assures that he reigns over all things and allows him now to pour out his spirit, his very presence, his peace into your heart. When Paul was writing in the book of Romans, and we'll talk about the book of Romans a little bit today, when Paul was writing in the book of Romans and describing the kingdom of God, right? This child's gonna have a government on his shoulders, gonna be a new kingdom. When Paul's writing about what this kingdom ultimately looked like, this is the way he described it in Romans 14, verse 17. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not some big lifelong party where, you know, you just got no problems. That day comes. But the kingdom of God right now is righteousness and peace and its joy in the Holy Spirit. When you have the Spirit of God, he brings righteousness, joy, and peace. And that peace isn't limited to a problem-free life. His presence gives peace that passes understanding, that guards your heart and your mind, even when your life is a mess. And so what I'd like to do for the next couple of minutes is just talk about a four-dimensional peace. You know, that this peace has come, and it's really undoing what Adam and Eve lost, okay? Where Jesus came to undo, the God of peace crushes Satan and all of his stuff under his feet, Romans 16, 20. He is reversing the curse and he's offering you a four-dimensional, four-directional peace. If you're a note taker, Jesus restores peace in your relationship with God, okay? That's the first peace. He restores peace with God. That's the primary thing that Adam and Eve lost. Please hear me. God didn't come to make your life better. He came to make your dead life alive. Adam and Eve allowed death to reign and the brokenness that all of us are born in and with. In the book of Romans, Paul writes for three chapters saying that everybody is a sinner. All right, you may be a good religious kid. You may be, you know, a choir boy for all I know, or you may be a hellion for sure. And Paul says, it doesn't matter, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all deserve death, that's what he says. But then he says in Romans 3:21 that apart from the law, apart from our ability to do good and make up for it, God sent Jesus, and Jesus became the payment for our sins. And then in Romans chapter 4, he says this, and you don't get this gift by demanding it. You don't get this gift by paying for it, by being good. You get this gift by receiving it by faith. Isn't that crazy? That the only way you can get forgiveness and have peace is by faith. And yet he says it is by faith. But when by faith you trust in Jesus, here's what Romans 5:1 says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the angels announced, that the child was born, a Savior, Christ the Lord. It's good news of great joy. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:15, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, the good news of peace. And here's why it's good news to you. Your sins are forgiven. By faith, you're made alive and restored to relationship with God, and that can never, ever be lost. That gnawing sense inside of you that something is missing and something is incomplete, it can be gone forever. That hole in your heart that nothing can fill is now filled by relationship with the Prince of Peace. Now, here's what I need to say about that. That there is a moment where you have to say yes to this gift, okay? There's a moment where you have to take that gift. Whenever y'all are celebrating your Christmas, whether it's, you know, white elephant stuff at the office or, you know, your family's exchanging gifts, there's a moment in which what is offered, you got to take and unwrap and on. Y'all with me? And in the same way, God is offering you peace with himself through Jesus Christ. But there is a moment where you, by faith, have to say to God, I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me alive. Change me. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. That is a thing. And you got to do that thing. And that thing is marked by, it's marked by publicly you being baptized and saying, I am buried with Christ in death and I am raised to walk in a new life of peace. That's a thing. But here's what I'm also finding is that even though you may have done that one time, even as a believer, I'm finding I still need to be reminded that I have peace with God. Because somehow in the midst of life and living, you can feel that God is distant or God is disappointed in you because of your lack of obedience, or maybe you didn't perform well enough for God, or maybe you're not productive enough, or you didn't have faith, or you weren't faithful. But here, please hear me. Peace with God is not based on you and your faithfulness, it's based on him and his faithfulness. That's why you can have peace with God. You can have assurance of peace with God based on the finished work of Christ. I needed that this week. I'll tell you about a dream I had in just a minute. But I woke up really yesterday morning now. Man, I was just, y'all, I was a wreck. I'll tell you about it in a second. But I needed to know God wasn't mad at me and that we were good based on a dream. And I read my Bible and you know what, I can do offices and I do that, but sometimes I need somebody to help me. Somebody to lead me. And so I have a little app on my phone. It's called the Pause app. A guy named John Eldridge wrote these. Basically, they're guided prayers. And as I sat on my couch early in the morning in the darkness, just saying, God, I give all my worries and my cares and my fears to you. And then there's a moment where you say, God, would you repair my fellowship with you? I was made for oneness with you. Christ in me, God in Christ. I was made for that. God, would you restore it? And I'm just telling you, I needed the restoration of peace. And I don't know, maybe that's you. Maybe you would say, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I just feel like I've missed God. And God is saying to you, I came to give you peace. And maybe today would be a day where you, with Advent, begin to prepare your heart to make him room to be the Prince of Peace even now. He came to give you peace with God. Okay, secondly, he came. Jesus came to restore peace within yourself. You have peace with God spiritually. I'm alive. I'm connected to God. But then peace within yourself. Paul kept writing in the book of Romans. And if you've ever read the book of Romans, it's an incredible book. Paul's theology and partly his personal life. When you get to Romans chapter 7, where he's already talked about this amazing life that Jesus has purchased for him. And then he says in Romans 7, but I'm a mess. Man, the stuff I want to do, I am not doing it. The stuff I hate, I should not do it, I can't quit. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? That's Paul's experience. And he's living with this reality of his messed up inner life, and he's like hating on himself. I'm this miserable man that I am. The inner voices that Paul had, his self-dialogue was so negative that he despaired. How will I ever break out of this and have peace within my own person and heart? That's when he writes a beautiful verse that you have heard before, but put it in its context. Romans 8:1, he's saying, thank God for Jesus. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul's like, man, God, you give me peace within myself. And I'm saying to you, you can have peace with God and peace with yourself and peace with your past and your present struggles. In God's eyes, you're redeemed and you're already forgiven and you were made new. You were made new now in God's eyes. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation. You are his workmanship. He's pleased with you and nothing can ever change it. And I know what you're thinking because I think this way too sometimes. Yeah, I get it, bro. I know God doesn't condemn me, but the problem is I condemn myself. My own voices, my own negative talk, the enemy, whatever that is, it reminds me of my pain. It reminds me of whatever that is. And so there's a lot of self-condemnation. So here's my dream, okay? This did not happen. I want to be real clear. This did not happen. I actually had this dream, but it was a dream. Thank God. I keep pinching myself, making sure. But I had like season two. Y'all ever dream like in a series? I mean, I know it's weird, and I typically don't dream, and I almost never can remember what I dreamed. But a few weeks ago, maybe even months ago now, I had a bad, bad dream that I did something criminal. And I don't know where it came from. I don't watch scary movies. I hadn't watched Yellowstone past season two. I just quit. I mean, someone come on, y'all feel me? So there was, I don't know where this came from, but I did a bad thing. And nobody knew about it. And I woke up in a cold sweat, like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that. Did that happen or not? And thank God that did not happen. Nobody knew. And I wasn't telling nobody either, just in case, you know. I just didn't tell nobody. And so Friday night, I'm just dreaming along. And again, I don't dream much. And this dream was not anything bizarre, but all of a sudden it took this bizarre twist. And back to that old dream. And man, I was exposed. People knew. And all of a sudden, I woke up. And I'm just telling you, I was in the worst kind of way. And though I don't consider myself an evil person, I had done something really bad. And I know it was just a dream, but I'm telling you, I woke up, the feeling that I had, I was distraught, I was fearful, I deserved death, I couldn't imagine living now that this was going to be my life. Now, thank God it was just a terrible dream, but I'm telling you, I've had to check myself multiple times just to make sure that really didn't happen. Now, for some of you, what I just described, it's not a dream, it actually is your life in reality, and I'm so, so sorry. You feel like the walls are closing in on you, and you live with maybe a low-grade or high-grade fear of being found out in your worst moment. And you're not necessarily an evil person, but you sure did a bad thing. Our Supreme Court in the U.S. is hearing arguments right now of a case in the state of, has to do with the state of Mississippi about access to abortion. And I need to be clear with you, I believe in the sanctity of life. I believe life begins at conception. I think we need to be praying for our justices and our court to be led by and honoring to God and His word and their decision that is pending. But I also believe that if the court sides with the state of Mississippi, we as the faith family should be praying that God open our heart to fostering and adopting precious little kids. But even the mention of that court case and even the mention of the topic, it just brings up the worst feelings in some of you who made a bad decision in a weak moment, in a season of your life that you wish somehow you could go back and undo. But I want to speak peace over you. I want you to hear God say, it doesn't matter what you do, you cannot disappoint me. I'm an all-knowing Father. And I love you, and I hold no sin against you, but instead I want you to experience peace. Peace that God says I established through the death of my child, my son, and by his burial and resurrection to life forever. All your sins are covered and hidden in him. They're washed away and removed from you. They were placed on Jesus and taken care of, thrown into the depths of the sea. And now God doesn't see that on you. He placed that on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And he wants you to begin to see yourself the way he sees you. He wants you to have peace. You're not what you did. You are and you stand in what he's done and what he says about you. The world knows nothing of this peace. Only the family of faith knows this peace. And sometimes you need to remind yourself not of what you did, but what he did. He became the curse. He took your sin. He became your ugliness and your evil deeds, and he drank it down. And then he said, it's finished and it's paid for and you're forgiven. And you need to remind yourself not of what the voices in your head are saying, but what he says about you. You are my beloved child, and in you I am well pleased. Not because you're all that, but because Jesus, the Prince of Peace, lives inside of you. We don't deserve it. We could never earn it, but grace. The child is born, the kingdom of peace is here, and he offers you this peace. Romans 8, verse 6, Paul went on to write, the mindset on the flesh, those voices in your head and your past, it's death. But when you begin to set your mind on the Spirit of God and spiritual things, man, it's life and peace. And I pray somehow you prepare room in your heart for the Prince of Peace and give him praise for all he's done to you. Peace with God, peace with yourself. Thirdly, Jesus restores peace in relationships. Adam and Eve had a falling out. Their relationships struggled as they blame shifted and threw each other under the bus in front of God. And so now all of us struggle in relationships because we're all flawed and we're selfish at heart. And yet Jesus came to restore peace. He came to reconcile us together, to fix what was broken relationally so that we could know true, deep, abiding, accepting love. When Jesus lived, and really for generation after generation, there was a great divide between the Jewish people and anybody not Jewish. We call them Gentiles. All right. Jews and Gentiles hated each other. All right. Hated each other. Constant war and friction. As a matter of fact, even at the temple, even at church, there was a wall where the Gentiles couldn't come in. Only the Jewish people could come in. And so there was division even at church. You with me? And yet when Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus where there are Jews and Gentiles, he talks about the reconciling work that God did in Jesus when the temple veil was torn and now all can come. This is what he says in Ephesians 2:14. He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. There ain't gonna be ever again a wall around the temple. All can come. Jesus prayed in John 17 that God would make us one. Romans 12:18, Paul said, if it's possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Romans 14:19 says, so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. That's the call of a Christ follower. Listen to me. You are called to be a peace bringer, a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Ephesians 4:3 says, you be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Come on, some of y'all need to hear this, because you're about to get together with all your family at Christmas time. And y'all know that a lot of times that ain't no love fest. Oh, yeah. All of you and your friends and you and your family in the kitchen, right? And you up there at the sink and you're talking about, I can't believe she's wearing this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just saying, that ain't happening this year. You bring in peace. Shut your mouth, girl. Come on, y'all with me? God set a guard over my mouth. Don't let me say anything that's not going to bring peace. There are people that are going to show up, and before they get there, you already worked up a good mad over something that happened a long time ago. And I ain't saying it didn't happen. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm just saying God says, be at peace. Y'all with me? So this is where it gets real practical. When the Prince of Peace has come, Advent season, make him room, prepare him room. This is where you may have to go to pray, and God, you're going to have to help me out. I think whenever you think about being a peacemaker, it can happen, but peace is a choice you make to focus on what we have in common. What we have in common. And what we have in common is maybe simply that, man, we just in the same family by somehow, I don't even know. But you certainly need to focus on what you have in common in Christ if we're believers. Okay? What does God say about him? How does God see him? Not what you say, not what you think, what you feel. What would God say about him? Well, she ain't even a believer. He's not even a believer. Well, in that case, you're called to be light to them. Okay, y'all with me? But I'm choosing to see what we could possibly have in common. I'm going to choose, for peace sake, I'm going to choose to honor you. I'm going to choose to treat you as more important than me. Now, I don't take for granted that y'all remember what I preached on back in June. Half of y'all can't remember what I preached on last week. I ain't throwing rocks. I'm just saying. I can't hardly remember it either, okay? But if you go back to June, we talked about, man, this whole idea of being reconciled together from Romans, and that Paul said, give preference to one another in honor, that we treat each other as if you're more important than me. You're not more important than me. I'm not more important than you. We have the same value to God, but we're going to treat each other that way. What does that look like? I'll tell you what it looked like in my life back in May. I didn't even know this was going on at the time, but now I've since found out. My daughter got engaged. Rachel got engaged and picked the date May the 8th to get married. Okay? And that was awesome. So here we go. Well, come to find out, a guy on our staff team had already gotten engaged and had already picked May the 8th for him and his fiance to get married. And then here we come right on top of their date, and we're going to get married on May the 8th at the same time. Now, I didn't know it at all, but Royce Worthington chose, he and his fiance, to move their wedding time to earlier in the day so that people wouldn't be in conflict. The people I needed to pull off our wedding were the people he needed to pull off his. The people that were going to come to our wedding, people were going to come to his. He chose to move his wedding to earlier in the day so that people could come to both. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, Chip, I mean, you was going to fire him if he wasn't going to do it. And I'm not saying that wouldn't have happened. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But when I found out that Royce did that, what do you think happened in my heart toward Royce Worthington? Because he chose to honor us as if we were more important, and we're not. He chose to treat us that way. What do you think happened in my heart toward him? Oh, bro, he got a lot of leash before he'd get into my nerves. Peace. And to choose peace means that you choose sometimes when I can't find common ground. They will not be reconciled to me, and they're not honoring to me. Sometimes peace just chooses to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's a journey, I get it. It's a journey, but God wants you to be a peacemaker. And sometimes that means forgiving. Jesus restores peace in relationship. And so when I speak that over your marriage, I speak that over your family, I speak that over your work environment, that you're not called just to have peace. Listen, I want you to leave this place. I want you to get offline in just a minute, and I want you to live your life wherever you go as one who brings people together, not pushes people apart. That's the call of Jesus in his kingdom for us to be men and women of peace. Here's the last thing. Jesus restores peace in the midst of all your circumstances. Remember, Adam and Eve had that. They lived in Eden. We don't. And yet Jesus still wants you to have peace even in the midst of your circumstances, even though they're not perfect. Jesus spoke at the last night of his life some words to his disciples in John 14:27, where he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And a couple of chapters later, same night, same conversation, he says this, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace." Oh, in the world, you got trouble. You got tribulation. It's a mess, but take courage. I have overcome the world in whatever it is you're facing. Now, please hear me. We're not home yet. Christ hasn't come yet. We'll talk about that Advent on Christmas Eve. One day, there's going to be perfect peace in every circumstance, but not now, not yet. And so in the not yet, Jesus spoke to his disciples and to you and me, and he says, in the midst of all the pain of life where your heart gets troubled and you feel like your soul's a washing machine and you're just going back and forth and twisted around and turned around and yanked back and forth and there's no calmness of mind, your equanimity, your equilibrium, your peace is stolen and gone and you're restless. In the midst of that, where you're fearful like the disciples in the storm, Jesus says, "I'm speaking peace to you guys." And they didn't know it, but it was coming for them. We know because we're reading it in reverse. In real time, they're hearing these words like, "What in the heck is he talking about? Peace and leaving peace and giving peace? Jesus, you right there." But in a minute, Jesus was going to be betrayed and arrested and ultimately crucified and dead. And their worlds would be shattered and it's falling apart. And what they had hoped for is gone. What they had leveraged their lives for is lost. Everything about their plans and their future, it was over and they were devastated. You with me now? Kind of like the way you feel at times when life is just, this ain't it, God. This can't be it. And yet Jesus spoke before it ever happened and he said, "I'm giving you peace. And I'm leaving you peace. I'm going, but I'm leaving for you and I'm giving to you peace." Just like when you give a gift in a few days, you're going to take something that you have and you're going to give it to somebody else. He's taking what he has and he's giving it to you. He's offering you peace. My peace. Not the world's peace. Listen, the world's peace demands the absence of conflict and problems and trouble. That's the world's peace. The world's peace requires that nothing be unknown and everything be under your control. Come on, that ain't gonna happen. The world's peace is temporary and it's apt to change and be lost. Have you discovered that? I got a text message from a church member this week. He sent me the text and he said, hey, we just passed your house on the way home. The lights out front look really good. Merry Christmas. I'm like, bam. Shout out Reagan and Christy because they did it, not me. It's like, it's good. But 30 seconds later, he sends another text. Hey, dude, now I see the house around the corner and you need to step your game up because they have destroyed you. And it's honestly true, man. The house around the corner, it's amazing. And they need Jesus because they outdid the preacher. But anyway, it really is. It's amazing, right? I mean, all of a sudden, wah, 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 you know, on our little lights. Y'all know what I'm saying? The peace of the world, man, it can come and go. What about Jesus' peace? Here's the peace that Jesus is offering you right now. It's a peace that doesn't have to demand the absence of conflict or problems. You can have peace in a storm or in the middle of a fight. The peace of Jesus doesn't have to have it all figured out or under control because you know the one who does have it all figured out and who does have it under control. The peace of Jesus can't be taken, shaken, broken, or lost. No matter what else in your life is shaken, taken, broken, or lost, he's my peace. I love the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Y'all like that song? Man, I like singing that song. It's like a mood changer, isn't it? I mean, you sing It Is Well, and it's calling back and forth, It Is Well, It Is Well. That song can just do something to you. I love it. And I think God anointed that song because it was birthed out of great pain and trust. Some of y'all know the story of the guy who wrote the song, a guy named Horatio Spafford, back in the late 1870s. He had experienced a series of tragic events. First of all, his 4-year-old son died. I don't know how, but his 4-year-old son died. That had to be hard, right? Then in the Chicago fire, Great Chicago Fire in the 1870s, he was heavily invested as an attorney in a lot of the properties around there, lost it all. And so he has a tremendous financial upheaval and setback. He's kind of recovering from that a couple of years later, trying to do the Lord's work, right? So he and his family are going to go to England, and they're going to participate in an evangelistic crusade with D.L. Moody. I mean, come on, God. Love a brother for doing good. And yet something came up with business. He had to be delayed, so he sent his wife and 4 daughters on the boat ahead of him. He would come a few days later. But while crossing the Atlantic, their ship collided with another vessel and sank. And his wife, Anna, sent a telegram to Horatio Spafford that said simply, saved alone. In the days that followed, as he got on a ship and made his way to find his grieving wife in England, they came to the place where he heard that this is kind of where this tragic event happened. And in that place is where he started to pen the words that we sing that give us peace. When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffer me and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It's nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. And that song is really, I think, what Paul was thinking of when he prayed for the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's my prayer for you right now. Now may the God of peace, just like he's the God of hope, he gives hope, but he is hope. The God of peace, the God who gives peace, but he is peace. If you got God, you got all of it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, entirely, spirit, your soul, and your body. May they be preserved complete, without blemish, without blame, to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just say to you that that's the preference, that's the order, that's the priority of God. Your spirit matters most, your soul, and then your body. In the world, it's the opposite. We worry about our body, then maybe our soul from psychology, and very seldom the spirit. God says you can have peace in your spirit that changes your soul and everything about your life. And sometimes you may have to pray for peace. You may have to pray for peace and say, God, I need this peace. I need this peace with you. I need this peace within myself. I need peace in my relationships. God, I need peace in the midst of all this bad stuff. The Bible says you can be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, you can let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace that only God can give, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's an amazing thing. Maybe you need to, in the next few days, learn to pray more for the peace of God. But can I also say, if you go two more verses later, Paul says there's really a greater peace found not just in praying, but in living with God, in living with God and saying, God, I surrender my life to you. God, I want to do what you want me to do, as hard as it may be. I want to walk with you. I want to live in your kingdom. And so I want to obey. Philippians 4:9 goes on to say this, the things you have learned and received in church, in your quiet time, the things that you have heard and seen in me and in other believers, practice these things, live this way, and the God of peace will be with you. God won't give you peace. God will give you himself. And I speak that word over you, that God wants to give you more than anything. He wants to give you himself. And with him comes great peace that you need, that even unchristian psychologists say you want and you long for and you need to have it. But alas, nobody can find it unless you know where to look. And where you look is in a manger with a little baby who ultimately had a government, the kingdom of God placed on his shoulders, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting father, a prince of peace. And I declare over your life, there will never be any end to his government, his kingdom in your life, or of his peace when you say yes to him. Come on, could we pray that way right now all around the room? If you're at home, would you just pray with me? Come on, could you just thank God for peace? Thank God for the gift of peace. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, God, for peace. If you've never had peace with God, come on, this is a thing. You got to say yes to God. You got to say, God, forgive me, change me, cleanse me. This hole in my heart, I can't fill it with anything, and I've looked in every wrong place. Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn to you. Holy Spirit, fill me up, change me. You don't even know all that that means, other than you just know you are desperately needing God to change you. Just pray him, ask him, pray to him, ask him right now. Heaven rejoices at your faith in Jesus. Peace of God and with God. Maybe you need renewed peace, even as a child of God like me. You just need to say, God, I need to give you all my cares and all my worries and all my stuff. I just need to unburden myself. And Lord, I need you to restore my loving union with you. Don't let your love for God grow cold and stale. God, I need a fresh touch. Maybe there's peace within yourself, or peace in a relationship, or in a circumstance where you need to set your mind on the things of the Spirit so that you might could experience life and peace. Just talk to him right now about that. And in a minute, I'm going to close this prayer. We're going to have some friends down here at the front who'd love to pray with you and help you. If you're online, then you can text the word pray or text the word Jesus to 57555. Our folks will love to help you. But come on, receive the gift of peace. Lord Jesus, we love you. We bless you. We're about to stand up and sing a song, God, that just declares glory to you in the highest. God, thank you for thinking of us and all that you've done for us. Praise you, God. Bless you. But God, I pray by your Holy Spirit, peace would become a reality in our hearts, and that God, not just selfishly become a reality in our hearts, but God, you would show us that we are to be purveyors of peace. God, we are to be carriers of this peace, that we're to speak peace wherever we go. We're to bring peace wherever we go. God, at work, at home, at play, wherever it is, God, would you let your peace resound in our voice? God, would you let peace just be emanate, God, from our presence? God, would you change our community and our world and our lives, God, by your peace in us? God, we love you. We bless you. We welcome you. We prepare room in our heart for you this Advent season. In the name of Christ, we pray and believe. Amen.